10 o'clock hour of Wildey's House begins now. We'll get to some of the lively chatter in the YouTube comments, plus some of your text messages, which Jesse's always working to curate. But we got a bunch of calls to get to first. Let's get back going with those. Erica, you're pretty far down on the list, so we'll have to wait for our discussion about Aaron Rodgers for a few segments. Let's start with Andy in Madison, not to be confused with Andy in Waukesha, who got us off to a very strong start with calls. Andy, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for waiting. Splendid.
Yeah, not a problem. I really liked Andy and Waukesha's call as well. But just real quick, I just wanted to kind of point, Tausch going to break talked about, that we get a little ahead of ourselves on teams that we should beat and this and that. And, you know, I think Tausch, you might be one of the biggest offenders, actually, because you were just like, you know, we should crush Cleveland. We should destroy Dallas, we should obliterate Cincinnati. Well, kind of look at those three teams now. I mean, they just came, all of them came off wins. Dallas beat Washington, Cincy beat Pittsburgh, and Cleveland beat someone. I don't even know who it was. But we don't think about what Sean Payton said. We don't really know who these teams are. Yeah, Miami, I guess that's not really much of a victory, but nonetheless a victory. So like Sean Payton said, we really don't need to know who these teams are yet. And a lot of teams are still trying to find their identity. Arizona is not a bad football team. That was a really good win. So that was just point number one. Point number two, again, I said I really liked Andy's calling Waukesha. I really liked it. But I kind of have a take that's a complete contradiction. I'm not sure who's right. I think
not
it's
all
a good
Andy's
debate.
Think alike.
So here's my take. All right, Tausch, let me ask you this. If a player hits a hard 15 against the dealer 6 and wins the hand in blackjack, was that a good play?
The dealer had a 16 showing?
Yeah, you got a 6 up, you got a hard 15,
it's not a good
take
play.
A hit and win. Are you...
Nope, not a good play.
Okay, Jason Wildey, if you go all in poker with king, queen against ace, ace, and you win the hand, was it a good play?
You're going to have to help me. No, it's not a good play.
That's going to be no, Jason. Let me help you, Jason. No. Okay, so if a head coach bypasses what is a seemingly a gimme field goal to tie the game and instead opts for a fourth down where the game is on the line but he succeeds, was that a good play? The answer is no. Okay, and it all starts with the timeout. If he doesn't waste the timeout, he can do either thing and be right and have logic and sound reasoning and math behind it. I actually don't know what the analytics said, but he can talk about all the trust he had in his guys and, you know, scared money don't make money. He didn't have faith in his guys. He was not unscared. He was scared, and that's why he had to burn the timeout, and that's what made going for it, in my opinion, the really bad decision, because now the game was completely on the line. Okay, maybe they can get the ball back with whatever, 40 seconds left. But if they keep that timeout, it's 2:30 left in the game. They got the 2-minute timeout plus 2 timeouts, if I'm not mistaken. If he goes in either direction, it's fine. But by burning the timeout, now going for it, it's all or nothing. And I think that was the wrong play. So I'm going against kind of what Andy said while thinking his points and his call was really, really interesting. And Tausch, you can say that if they kick the field goal to tie the game there, that we lose the game. You don't know that. We turned them over one time. It wasn't an automatic. But what we do know is if LaFleur fails, if we don't convert that 4th-and-2, if Tucker doesn't give that little forearm shiver to get just a little separation, we lose that game, and you can't be results-oriented. That was the whole point of the poker and blackjack. And you can't be results-oriented. Just because something worked, it doesn't mean it was right. So I think LaFleur got really lucky. I think he put his job on the line. I think if it doesn't work, we're talking very differently. And as somebody who's I'm a math nerd and more odds oriented than most people would
be. Okay, Andy.
So
Andy,
I still look at it.
Andy,
I'm not.
Andy, this is perfect. Let me interrupt you because I don't know if I would call Josh DiMaggio a math nerd, and I am going to tell you my bias up front. I don't understand, nor do I necessarily believe in this sort of analytics-driven, this is what we should do deal, because if you tell me
that there's a 65% chance of this happening if I do this, and there's only a 47% chance of it happening if I don't. That's kind of like the weather forecasters with the rain. Are you not still irritated if they say it's a 30% chance of rain, but you still get rained on? So according to Josh DiMaggio, who does a great job producing Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and produces our show silently in Milwaukee, I don't think he works in any capacity for 565 Analytics.
We can't afford him.
You're stepping on my jokes.
He would want payment of something.
That seems reasonable. But he has sent me this analytics view of the decision to go for it versus the decision to kick the field goal. And according to this, down three, facing a fourth and two with 29 yards from the opponent's end zone, with 2:32 left in the game, your winning percentage, if you go for it, is 47%. Your winning percentage, if you kick the field goal, is 41%. So, again, according to this, you're more likely to, if you succeed then on getting it, your winning percentage goes up to 65%. If you succeed on kicking the field goal and tie the game, your winning percentage is only 47%. Now, Andy, you said you're a math nerd. So what does that tell you if those are accurate? Because, again, I am pleading ignorance here. I don't understand how they arrive at these. I'm curious what you think.
Ben Baldwin seems to be the source on this. Ben Bot Baldwin, which sounds like it's a bot, but whatever.
So my question is, first of all, was that percentages with one timeout or two, which is critical, because that was the whole point of my argument.
It says one timeout. One timeout.
And by the way, Andy, I agree. The waste of the timeout, as I said, totally inexcusable. Can't happen. Continue.
So here's the thing. So maybe LaFleur didn't hit a hard 15 into a 6, but he hit like a 12 into a 4. He got pretty lucky, because the burning of the timeout really – and so if the math said go for it, that's great. But with two timeouts, I would love to know what that math was then. That would be – because that's really where I find the discrepancy in LaFleur's decision-making. It all stems from the timeout. With the timeout, I don't think I'm making this phone call. Like, if he doesn't burn the phone call, I don't have a problem with the decision either way.
Okay.
I can argue. Like, and again, I'm just doing analytics in my head from experience in watching football games. I didn't know those percentages at all, but it doesn't really surprise me with one timeout. But with two, I'd be really curious. And it might be a 50-50 call where either way, like I said, I don't make the phone call if he doesn't burn the timeout.
Yeah, Andy, so, I'm glad.
And I got to ask Andy a blackjack question before you let him go.
Sure.
So go
why
ahead.
Don't you do that so
right,
he can
12
get
on 12,
call.
What does the math tell you to do?
12 versus a 12, you hit. You hit a 12
always.
Versus a 2, and you hit a 12 versus a 3, which is the most misplayed hand in all of blackjack.
12 versus a 3, you hit?
On a 12 versus a 3.
Is that why?
12 versus a 2, 12 versus. 12 versus a 3. Look up at me. Come on, man. Come on, Tausch. Basic strategy 101. Just look it up.
Let me tell you something.
12 versus a 3.
12 on 12 is always, people ask the dealer. 12 on 12 has always been to me, okay, that's a 50-50 shot. I've never heard anybody say 12 versus a 3. Never. So that's why I'm curious.
You've never had the right blackjack dealer then.
I guess
not. You've never had the right dealer then. You've had dealers. Let me tell you something. Dealers are some of the worst blackjack players on the planet.
So don't ask.
They have some insight as to what cards are coming. They think that the odds do not pertain to them.
Okay.
And they think that they have some sort of insight. They don't. They don't. Now, should they know the basic strategy to a T and not misinform you? Yes, they should. But it is the most misplayed hand in blackjack. Next to a soft 18, a lot of people don't like to double that against a bus card. But, yeah, you don't want to – you're going to gain a little bit of a percentage. I think it's like 1.2%, I want to say, if you hit that 12 versus a 3. You're going to bust it sometimes, but Tausch can't be results-oriented.
Okay. All right. I'm learning something.
Andy, do you get mad at the other people at the table if they don't do it the way you want them to do it?
I used to, and then the greatest streak I ever had in my life on a blackjack table where I never lost a hand. I was playing two spots on a six-deck shoe with one other person. I never lost a hand on one of the spots, and I think I lost maybe the first two hands on the other spot, but I won every other hand. And the entire shoe, I was telling them, don't do it. Don't. Good job. Good, yes.
But you're so being results-oriented there.
And I was winning every single hand. And from that point forward, I have never spoken out. If somebody asks me and says, hey, man, what should I do? Or, you know, if they ask the table, then I'm glad to say, hey, basic strategy. This is what the math will tell you. And that's, I don't play hunches. I don't guess.
Okay.
I play the math. And somebody asks me a question, I give them the math. But I will not say anything. If somebody's splitting tens, if they want to double a hard 12, I would have, frowned upon it, but I have learned my lesson.
I'm sorry to do this. This is not your fault. This is Tausch.
No, I'm intrigued.
But we have a lot of people waiting.
Yeah, it's on me. This,
you'll have to check out our new show, Tausch's Blackjack Hour, which will start airing as a digi only on our YouTube channels. Thanks, Andy.
I'm not producing that.
Okay.
Andy should join you guys down at Hard Rock.
I'll go play with Coach Alvarez. I wonder if Coach Alvarez hits 12 on 12.
Ask him.
Don't flinch.
Okay. For those of us that were trying to make sure we got as many calls in, that's a little bit of a setback for us. But we will regroup after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Should always insure carefully. That I know.
And bet on 12.
I'm not sure if you should insure on black. I don't know. I'll have to ask Andy. But I do know if you need insurance, life is better with American Family Insurance. That's because their agents will make you feel totally protected with a home, auto, or life policy that's just right for you. Also, you're free to enjoy your dreams. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
We have an On the Tee show once a week about golf. We've got a betting show. We've got a wrestling show. I smell a blackjack show. You can have Ron and the Key on all the time as a guest. He could be like the producer.
Oh, okay.
Good luck. I look forward to the launch of that. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead, including more of your calls. So stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Welcome back to Blackjack Today, presented by Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Are Jesse and Barry Alvarez going to sit together at a blackjack table during a commercial break?
Gosh,
tonight?
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Sounds like you need to hit 12 versus 13.
You think Barry would get after you for a misplayed, wasted card that he could have used if you're sitting next to him and you're first in the rotation?
Yes, as long as I don't flinch. If I'm one of those at the table, which I do tend to do if I get a tough
flincher,
I sit back and I call a timeout. What should I do? What do you guys think? Like, as long as I didn't flinch, I think he would respect it.
All right. Well, that was fun, but a little lengthy. We appreciate Andy's loyalty to the show, as we do everyone's loyalty. But I'm sorry to Mo, Jamon, Sparky, Terrell, and Erica who waded through that. Let's get to them now. Let's start with Mo down in Illinois, where Bears fans are all excited with a four-game winning streak. Mo, how's that going for you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears still suck, so they could get excited all they want. when they play the G&G. That's rough. But just to kind of recap with some positives and negatives and then a final overall point, I thought Quay Walker flew around the field yesterday. You know, he looked great. Obviously, Parsons looked great. J.J. Enagbare, I really like him. I feel like, you know, they really like to play LVN over him because obviously he's a first-round pick. But every time Enagbare is on the field, I feel like he makes a play. He's just fundamentally sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the O-line looked great. I think it's going to continue getting some more continuity. I think Jordan Morgan has really settled in at the right guard spot, which is why we didn't see Sean Ryan out there. Some negatives I didn't like, you know, the lack of play action. I don't know if it's because maybe the O-linemen cannot hold on to their blocks long enough. Maybe they've kind of shied away from that. I'm not sure. And then short yardage situations. I get scared whenever I see a third and one. I don't know why the Packers seem like the worst team in history to complete those short yardage plays. It's super frustrating. But to conclude, because I know there's a lot of callers, I'm sure you remember, I told you, Tausch, you know, that after the game, I thought that if we win next week's game, you know, against the Steelers, and, you know, Homer says a lot of things that makes me want to shove my head into a brick wall, but yesterday was definitely one of them. I said next week is one of those games. If you win, it could be the galvanizing moment because this team is going to get healthier. We're going to get Christian Watson back. We're going to get Wyatt back. Reed, Zach Tom will continue getting healthier. We know what's at stake this week with the emotions of playing Aaron Rodgers. If you win that game, you got Carolina and Philly at home, and then you got the Giants. This could be a big stretch coming up, and I think if we win the game next week, we're going to be having a very interesting conversation, and I think this team will go on a deep run and contend for the number one overall seed.
Ooh, let's go. Let's go. I love it when we start having conversations about conversations, too. I think this weekend's a really big game for
you do.
A lot of things. Yes, I think it is. And it's, you know, not only, obviously, just to win, but there's just more there. And we all know that. It is more meaningful for these guys. There's a lot of people involved in this. And there's a lot of the Green Bay Packers' current team, they're not going to give two rips. So let's just go win the game. But they're going to know what's important to their quarterback and to their head coach and to their staff and to their general manager. Like, there is a lot there. And it will be downplayed all week. And then my guess will be afterwards, especially if it goes well, they'll say, yeah, this was a big one. But I get how the game is played, and I totally understand it. That's what I would do. But I can assure you, the guys that know Brett and Aaron, and there's not a lot of them left. It's a big deal.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Let's get to another call. Let's go down to Dallas and go to Jamon. Jamon, break up the – how about them Cowboys? Two straight calls to people with people whose teams that they don't root for in their native land are having success, but so are the Packers. What do you got for us, bud?
Like the last caller said, the Cowboys still suck.
We're consistent around here. I love it.
The positive I have, I can say we won the game. The Cardinals played a good game. I mean, the few games that they did lose, they only lost the last few seconds by field goals. I mean, they've been playing everybody good all year. I mean, the Packers found a way to win the game, so that's a positive. Michael Parsons had his breakout game. Feel like we've been waiting for a minute. Finally, I didn't know 3 sacks was his career high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got it in Green Bay. So, hey, Quay Walker was having a tremendous game. Only negatives, I would say. I mean, of course, the low-hanging fruit, the coverage is – I'm not sure. The coverage this year, losing Jair, I'm not sure if it's just a big thing, but, I mean, I think we could reuse him. I'd rather have Jair than Nate Hobbs any day. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe somebody can tell me. I'm not sure what it is, but guys want number 21 from Stokes, from Hobbs, from Kevin King. I think we should just retire the number. Retired, let Charles Woods just enjoy his.
Should he be at 12?
Number 21 is
hit to an 8.
It's a really good point, actually. We have not had a lot of success with 21s after Charles.
Yeah, I think we just retired the number and just give it up at this point.
Bao Ju?
oh, no. The play calling by Matt LaFleur. I like the play at the end. You know, going forward, like a lot of people are saying, you know, Jordan made the decision, but I mean, you got to trust your guy. But a lot of plays, I don't see that Matt LaFleur really trusts his team. I mean, like, there's plays where we're on third down, and like you said, the last caller, we're running a pitch out to the far right, and it's like, why not find your guy, took a crap down the middle, or just throw a little, you have Josh Jacobs, just throw a little, not a screen, a little 5 yard out. Give us a Josh Jacobs. These are top elite players, and instead of us using them wisely, we're I don't know, the play calling is just questionable. You see Matthew Golden running from one side of the field to run towards Jordan Love and come behind him. Like, that's not what Golden does. Golden gets his, you know what, open, and he gets downfield and he gets open. Bubble screens is not what used for Golden in college, so I'm not sure what Malafour is doing there. Like the play call at the end and go for it. Of course, a lot of people saying it's Jordan's call. Not too many negatives. Also, I mean, the only negative, like I said, would be the play calling. Jordan also, I mean, the deep passes from Jordan Love. Like I said, we have Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs. I feel like those are two elite players that show that they can be elite in this league. When the coverage drops back, just give it to these guys. I mean, on the third down play that Tucker Kraft got, and it was incredible. I mean, the coverage dropped back. He wasted no time, gave it to Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft fought for the yards. We get the third down. I mean, we get the first down. I don't know. Sometimes it comes with the coaching and the quarterback. I think these guys have to just click on the same page, and once we get that connection that we want, I think this team can really go places.
Yeah, I agree with. I will say this, and thanks for the call, Jaymon. First of all, I think if Josh Jacobs is fully healthy, he probably has a greater role. I mean, he played 31 snaps yesterday, which is 55% of the 56 snaps they ran offensively. Secondly, to Tausch's point, and Jaymon, I think, agrees with you, 10 targets for Tucker Kraft, and you still want him to have more. I understand that, but, you know, they only threw the ball 28 times. Like, you know, they only had 56 plays. I remember Mike McCarthy used to love to talk about how the goal was to have 70 offensive snaps at minimum. And they didn't come anywhere close to that yesterday. They still won the game. But this distribution thing is going to be something we're going to talk about for a while. We're just going to keep talking about it. And I'm curious to see where it goes because, like I said, when the game started, I really thought this was going to be a Matthew Golden game. And then it didn't last for very long, and then it became a Tucker Kraft game later. We will get to more of your calls coming up. But first, saw a lot of Coors Light commercials during the game yesterday on television. And every time, I thought, why don't they have Mark Tauscher's voice telling us about this beverage?
Well, they had a lot of Coors Lights over the weekend, I can tell you that, too. A lot of Coors Light, and whether you're tailgating pregame, celebrating Rose Bowl championships from yesteryear, or a big win down in Arizona, and you need a moment to chill, just crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. And Jesse tonight, when he hits that 12 versus that 3 showing, I bet he cracks one open down at Hard Rock as well. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. Yeah, Golden, Colorado.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Since Mark Tauscher joined the Green Bay Packers in 2000, the players who have worn number 21 are as follows. Gary Berry.
Gary Berry?
That's a fun name.
Ohio State safety.
Suffered a neck injury, never played a game in the NFL. Baoju.
Penn State guy.
That's also a fun name.
Earl Little in that unforgettable season of 2005.
Played with the Browns before he got here.
Then this guy showed up, wasn't happy to be there. Charles Woodson.
That was a good signing.
He turned out to be pretty good.
Pretty good signing.
After that, Natrell Jamerson, former Badger.
Yeah.
First name Roberson.
That's a good memory. Might have to have him on this week.
Could he pen an open letter to everyone as well? We could post.
After that, Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
That didn't work out.
Followed by Eric Stokes.
Yeah, it didn't work out. But he's playing good ball now, from what, right?
Well, that was a couple weeks ago. I haven't checked in since.
I don't even know where he is.
Raiders.
Raiders. They stink.
They're not good.
I hope Pete Carroll starts getting the same heat that Billy Belichick's getting, because they both stink. Both teams stink.
Not as much heat as Billy Napier got. And finally, Nate Hobbs not wearing it. So other than
Jason's guy.
Yeah, my guy, very physical. God, he wasn't very good against Arizona yesterday. Imagine how bad he must have been in the game he didn't actually play against them that I allegedly watched on film. All right, let's get some more of your calls. 844-770-3776.
Next time you do one of those film breakdowns, can you digi-only that? Because I'd love to see you do that. Like, I would definitely tune in.
I'm sure you would.
And if you want to do it for Channel 3000, go for it. I just would love to see you do a digi-only on whatever free agents we sign. I want you jumping in, breaking that film down, and I want Jason Wilde digi-only. Can we commit to that?
I think it would be super boring watching Jason watch film.
No.
Look, I'm not going to be pushed around by a
Who's
former NFL player. You are. You know what you're doing.
I think it's
you
interesting.
You know what you're... I see the smirk on your face. You can't even keep a straight face. Why you do this? Let's go to Sparky and Sussex.
Because I like it. That's why.
I know why you do this. Let's go to Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got?
I basically just have a question that was inspired by Mrs. Sparky. Watching the game first half, and I told her that apparently the week before, McManus had told Haversack to go out and make yourself some money. You know, kind of an audition for you. Keep playing. And she
Thanks
said, well, would they just keep him? And I said, no, McManus is kicking really well. He doesn't have the leg, but he's really accurate. So a few minutes later, Haversack sets a new record. So I guess my question is, what do you do? What are our options? I mean, keep him, cut him? Can you trade him? What do they do with a situation
all
like that?
All of the above are options. So Tausch, why don't you take this? Because you were on this last night on Green Bay game night. You remain on this. You have a kicker that you signed to a three-year, $15.3 million extension in March. You obviously believe in him. He missed two kicks all of last year. Lucas Haversick, in a small sample size, is 10 for 10, including a 61 blank and yarder. Although at the same time, you did have a chance to have him kick the game-tying field goal from 47 yards, and the head coach did say that's not a chip shot, and he decided to go for it ultimately on 4th and 2. What if Goody calls and says, Tausch, I don't listen to your show much because I don't really like Wilde, but I heard through the grapevine you're a big supporter of my work. What do you think I should do at kicker? How do you respond?
I called the New York Giants today, and I said, hey, once McManus is healthy, I'm trading Haversack for a sixth-round pick. If they say no, you keep him. And I am more than content keeping him on this roster through the trade deadline. I'm not doing anything till the trade deadline. And then if you have injuries that pile up and you have to, you hope that Haversack can be a practice squad guy. It's a tough one. I'm going to struggle. Haversack, right?
Ashcraft.
What?
No, it's just that you and names. Sometimes
it's Haversack, right?
Yeah.
Haversick.
Lucas Haversack.
Haversick. Yeah, Haversick. That's what I said, Haversack. And then I changed it to six.
Havlicek. Yeah, the whole thing.
So he right now, he has a great value to this team. When McManus is healthy and you know he's healthy, because what is it, a quad? I don't even know what is exactly wrong.
It is his right quadriceps, his kicking leg.
I don't love that. And I have a team that I think can go chase a chip. It's worth keeping too, and somebody that you trust. So unless somebody gives me a six, Havlicek, Haversack, whatever, he is staying on my football team. I'm not cutting him. I'm not going to trade him for he has a great value right now to what we're doing. He ain't going anywhere.
Let's take another call. Let's go to Terrell on the north side. And by the way, thanks for the call, Sparky, and say hi to Mrs. Sparky for us.
It's getting to be U-Log season. Oh, it's been so balmy.
We're on the cusp.
Very balmy this last weekend.
Let's go to Terrell on the north side. Terrell, good morning. Thanks for holding on so long, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, no problem. Jason, you remember who I am?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Who is
Help
it,
me
Jason?
Out.
No. Tell him who it is.
Jason, do you remember me calling you the fortress of the Green Bay Packers front office because you always defended them on Homer Show back in the day?
Terrell, I have selective amnesia. I don't.
But anyway, let me get. I almost thought if I didn't hear you on the radio and when they were talking to you, I almost thought that you had reincarnated into Matt LaFleur's body because you both are very conservative guys.
Yeah, we are conservative and handsome, I might add. Yeah.
So here's the positive, though. The positive, real quick. The positive is that they found a way to win, and also that even though LaFleur has been real conservative or kind of quirky jerky with his offense and his play calls and everything, he finally made a decision to show some stones and make that play. He made that decision to go for it and end up paying dividends for him. The negative side is that when I look at this team so far, they play down to their competition too much. And when I think about playing down to your competition, I think about youth and I think about coaching. And the youth, you can't do anything about. They have to learn. But coaching for LaFleur, he's been here for 7-8 years now, and he's coached a veteran quarterback. There's no excuse for what he's going through right now. And I'm hoping that this process that him and Jordan Love had, it makes their synergy come together and it can be felt permeate throughout the locker room that maybe this can be a tipping tail. Now, I just got one more assessment really quick, and I want Tauscher to tell me a little bit about this.
Speaking of a fortress.
I noticed in the post-game with LaFleur in the locker room and also during the game that Rashard Gary didn't seem himself for some reason. I just picked up on it. I was watching it. Maybe because I've been reading a lot about these trade rumors during the week, and it's not just one little speculating rumor. It's been kind of popping around about specific teams like the 49ers. Do you think, as a player, just from the human side, I would say yeah, but I would like you to speak to it because you've been in the locker room.
Great question.
Do you think, does that have an effect on him in the locker room or something? Because he was not his jubilant self that I'm used to seeing, and I was just like, wow, I wonder is that really bothering him?
That is an outstanding question that I would not have thought to ask. Well done, Terrell. Sincerely, the fortress. that's a great question. Tausch, you were never the subject of trade rumors,
no.
I don't think.
No, I wasn't.
But you had teammates who probably were. What do you make of that?
So Terrell just said, you know, he understands the human side of it, that you have the answer. You know, football players are human, and sometimes I know we kind of look at it and we don't think that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do some things that most humans can't do, obviously. But the psyche and the feelings and the I feel wanted, I don't know. I didn't pick up on that. I'm sure Jason the Fortress Wildy can get in that locker room today.
What a nickname.
And ask Rashawn, you know, about that. But the human nature side of it would tell you, obviously, if something, and if it's credible and you don't hear anyone really come down and say something to you, this perception does become reality. And when you get the vibe that somebody maybe doesn't want you or that you are expendable, of course that will affect you mentally. Then you have to figure out how that all works. And it is a constant mind gymnastics that you're working through. And it's something that not everybody handles in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that all shakes out and if there is some there. I wasn't paying attention enough to catch up on all that as we were doing the show, but human nature would tell you that would not surprise me at all.
All right. Our next call up after the break, and I know she does a lot of work from home, so it allows her to stay on hold this long, but our next call is from Erica. So don't go anywhere.
Who do you think she's going to root for this weekend?
Who do you think we're going to? What do you think we're going to? You think she's going to want to break down Nate Hobbs' performance?
Maybe.
It's possible. It's possible there will be a new video. In fact, I fairly confidently can say that there will be a new game day video on all our social channels with me giving you your three things to watch in the game on game day with Associated Bank. It's a fun little thing that we're doing with Matty Hayes and Lance Davis and, of course, with Associated Bank. And you know the line that I love from them. It's not branches that make a bank local. It's roots. And their roots are deep in Wisconsin. They were there when the Packers began way back in 1919. And now they have the best customer service in the industry, and they've got all the awards to prove it. Whether it's early pay, so you have access to your money up to 2 days early, whether it's credit monitoring to make sure your credit is where you need it to be to make that big purchase, or it's fraud protection, which they had my back on when somebody tried to take my information. They've got you covered, and of course, with Brewers, Badgers, and Packers checking. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Erica, you're next. More calls. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at GrasslandButter.com.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't. No good for nothing, no commas in his bank account. But there's a girl.
Oh, there's some buzz in the YouTube comments for our next caller. Levi, you should tell that Erica from Milwaukee that she makes the show so much fun when she calls in.
She is fun. I always enjoy her point of view.
And so, Erica, you make the show so much fun when you call in. Welcome. How you doing today?
Good. How are you? Tausch opened the can of worms because I was going to talk about the game from yesterday a little bit before I talked about Rodgers, but
yeah,
he wants to know what I'm rooting for. Yeah. Okay, so I can root for Rodgers. They have 3 touchdowns and 300 yards passing. However, I'm going to root for Love to have 4 touchdowns and 301 yards passing.
Yeah. All right.
So,
the anti-Jesse in these deals.
Exactly.
Love it.
So, our defensive backs need to get together, otherwise Rodgers is going to probably score 50-some points. So, I mean, I've been watching his games, and some of those passes are pretty impressive still. I mean, he's had 2 games with 4 touchdowns, and
yeah,
I guess I'm so glad he screwed the Jets over with the 1 game, but like I said, Jordan Love, you got to throw 4 touchdowns and 301 yards passing if Rodgers is going to throw 3 and 300 yards passing. So I guess that's what I'm rooting for. Wildy, are you going to go to the game in Pittsburgh?
I am not. The cost of flights is a little bit, as you can imagine, pricey. I'm working on maybe. I don't want to make the trip and then be irritated with a certain person if I don't have the conversation that I'm looking for. So we will have full coverage leading into that game right here on Wildy and Tausch, and of course on channel3000.com.
Well, did he reply to your text? You were going to text him to see if you could meet.
We did text the other night after the Thursday night game. But again, he's a complicated fella, and we'll leave it at that. I am very much looking.
Send tickets up here.
I'm sorry.
If anybody, Erica should get tickets.
Yeah,
that's 100% true.
Ask if he'll send tickets up here.
She's been a ride or die for him.
That's true, no doubt about it. And it's a 10-hour drive from Green Bay to Pittsburgh because I did look it up. Thanks for the call, Erica.
That's not that bad. What if you and Jesse drove out there?
I got plans this weekend. Stop signing me up to do things with him.
What do you mean?
What if you drove out there?
I'm out
him?
In Oregon, or oh. I would drive out with Jason 100% if I wasn't out in Oregon.
Do you really need to go, though? Sorry. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour.
LePay can handle it.
I'm not sure he needs to go either. You should tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford, though, where Jesse's going to be tonight.
Who is going to be there, and I can't wait to hear what Coach Alvarez has to say about the weekend with all of his old coaches and players.
Kabuna Bar.
It was awesome. Can't wait for Jesse to do that. I'm sure they probably won't talk a ton about the game,
Maybe they will, but they'll be doing it at the Hard Rock Casino Rock for about an hour. You carpooling down with old boy?
There's a Rose Bowl car going, and there's a non-Rose Bowl car going.
So, Derek and Tark...
Jesse's added himself to the graphic!
Yeah,
no, I saw that. Yeah, I already mentioned it, and he said he didn't have anything to do with it, which I don't believe.
Yeah, I'm not good enough to do this guy at all.
You're bigger than the two guys that played!
Well, Derek's taller.
I didn't make it,
no,
Jason.
He's bigger than Tark, though, for sure on that. So you're
Jesse
not right
Nelson
down with
Schultz. Why is Tark like tickling Barry's chin in this little graphic?
Are you not going to ride down with Tark, Derek, and Coach?
No, again, they're in the Rose Bowl car. They're going to do their
they
car.
They get a bigger car.
And then I'm riding.
Jesse's in the Dunzo car.
And I'm in the Dunzo car.
That's exactly how it should be. Yeah. And it's only 60 minutes for the boys to get down there. Check them out tonight. It'll be a fantastic show from 6 to 8 down there. And you can get down there. You can hit the 1,300 slots. You got the 50 live table games. You got a sports book. You got the Rock Shop. You got great food. I'm guessing you're going to be able to check out that UU noodle bar that I've been wanting. Street tacos. They got the great steaks with the Council Oak steaks and seafood. They got it all. Head on down. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. Again, it's about a 60-minute drive from the Madison Metroplex, and you get to see Jesse Nelson and the Jesse Nelson Show with a guest appearance by Barry Alvarez and some Rose Bowl champions tonight. Again, the Jesse Nelson Show down in Hard Rock Casino Rockford tonight.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.